Good morning. You listen to FloorDaily.net, and I'm Kemp Haar. I'm in Denver, Colorado at the Carpet One Summer Convention, and I'm with John Gilbert, the president. John, how you doing?
Hey, Kemp. I'm doing great.
So you've been in the business now a year. Quick review. Came out of marketing in the restaurant business. Took this role about right now a year ago. First question is, outsider's perspective, any chuckles, any really about this business?
Well, for me, it's all been education. I didn't know anything about flooring other than maybe what a customer would know, and that still wasn't very much from my perspective. I hadn't been a flooring customer for probably 20 years. There hasn't been anything that's been terribly surprising in terms of the, you know, sort of consumer space or the vitality and the enthusiasm of the members for the business. Those have all been sort of confirmed. I think what has been a little surprising for me coming in is how much incredible innovation there has been in flooring products that most consumers have no idea has happened.
Actually, along those lines, and it's something I was going to get to in a minute, but since you brought it up, one of the things that is going on in this business right now, I mean, I just got out of this ITR economist that you brought here, mm-hmm. and he's agreeing that the business, from the economic standpoint, housing and everything, is flat this year. Mm-hmm. So we're not surprised to hear that the retail replacement business is flat. But we're seeing some huge changes in what's going on in certain categories. I mean, 100% almost of the growth in flooring is with LVT. And, you know, LVT, I think if when you compare the other options a consumer has to buy, it's replacing some more expensive products. Mm-hmm. So that has an effect to gross margin dollars. Mm-hmm. Do you think your members are doing a good job of recognizing that and making sure that they're training their people, not necessarily to downsell, even though it's the latest and hottest product?
Well, that's a terrific question. I think there's a number of ways to deal with that trend, which is real. I'll address probably the most straightforward way, which is around some of the enthusiasm we have as a co-op for engaging our sales pros and having our sales pros become more proficient in trading up, in understanding the consumer's sort of wants, needs, beliefs, and identifying products that will be, you know, more satisfactory for their needs that also might cost a little bit more. In cases where the consumer is a little reluctant, using our terrific financing tools to help get customers over the edge. My career, I've done a lot of different things with regard to consumer-facing businesses, and I'll tell you one thing that's been certain business after business, and I'm sure it's the same here. Consumers that trade up to a higher quality product are generally more satisfied over the long run than consumers who, either constrained by budget or constrained by their own perceptions, didn't trade up or even traded down. That's where all the dissatisfaction comes from. And so, you know, this idea of cognitive dissonance is usually associated with trading up. Cognitive dissonance is a fleeting sort of feeling. The long-term lasting sort of satisfaction comes with knowing you made the right choice from a quality standpoint. So I think training our sales pros, engaging our sales pros, helping our members to see how we can engage our sales pros to do that is really one of the key focuses of this convention.
Okay. You've had a year to acclimate. You're giving, which is very healthy, an outsider's perspective. And I'm sure you probably have some ideas, some game-changing things that you'd like to implement. Can you tell us a little bit about some of that?
Absolutely. Now, when we talk about game-changing, the first one I'll talk about is really game-changing from within inside the Carpet One culture, and that's using our data to help us at the member level make better daily decisions about our business. So we have a very robust membership, you know, over 600 members, 800-plus stores, and there's a lot of data. And when I talk about data, I talk about the data that's transaction-based, the data that talks to us about who our customers are, ultimate customers, how much did they pay, what did they buy, when did they buy it, how often do they come back. So really the consumer-based data. We've got a lot of that. Right now it's all locked up at the unit level in the unit level POS system, so at our members' showrooms. You know, we have the ability now to pull that data up, to look at it in an aggregate basis, to identify patterns and trends, and then to serve back to our members recommendations that aren't based on sort of an academic or a theoretic approach to business, but an actual factual approach. We have members who are far outperforming other members in specific areas, and so the notion of finding those best practices and sharing them back with the other members, it's a game changer for us. What's ironic is that in the industry that we're in and competing with folks like Lowe's and Home Depot, Floor & Decor, Lumber Liquidators, and others, and I don't know any of those businesses intimately in terms of my own experience, but I do know from running large businesses that they're all using their data and have been for a decade or more to make business decisions at the local and national level regarding their products, how they sell them, where they merchandise them, who sells them best, what customers like them best. So all of that data that they've been using for a long, long time, we have to learn to compete with. Now, the good news is the co-op, based on some other strengths, has performed admirably against those competitors with one hand tied behind our back. That's the data hand. But the challenge going forward for us is to get members comfortable with making sure their data is clean and then sharing it. We do those two things, we have a source of data that is unmatched in the industry.
That's interesting you say that. You know, you would think that one of the simplest things to say with a Floor & Decor is, yeah, but where are the profits going? And we're talking about a local owner, local community, everybody who works here, lives in the community. It seems like in and of itself would be, as long as that's mentioned, something to think about, right?
Sure, absolutely. And I think one of the sort of add-on components to the use of data is to help our members, and I've got a lot of deep experience. A lot of my experience has been in, you know, business turnaround situations where you get intimate with your P&L. And so I think that gives me a seat at the table with our members to talk about P&Ls in a way that we can find more to drop to the bottom line on their behalf, you know, using data and using other tools and techniques.
One question about the health of the membership. And I mean, you said the 600, you know, members, 800 stores, and you look around the room, there's a lot of gray hair in here. A lot of people are thinking about, I mean, a lot of them have children, they're going to take the business over. Some, though, are probably, as your member in Phoenix has just done, you know, is exiting and being purchased. So a lot of that's going on right now, right?
Yeah, you know, it's fascinating. I'm a big, you know, as I said, data person. And so I looked at the percent of our membership that's 60 and up. And it's not that different from the general population that's 60 and up. So I do think we have a little skew toward older members. But keep in mind, we have about 200 what we call next gens in our business, and those are 40 and under.
Okay.
And so it's a pretty healthy balance. I can tell you we're supporting of the members who are looking for whatever transition plan they want to have. We have a number of folks on the team that work with them on those transition plans, including selling the business or passing the business on to their next generation. We're actively involved where members want us to be. Many of our members have their own plans in place. What my aspiration to do in this space as a president is to help them recognize more value from their business. So to help them engineer their P&Ls to present a better value to prospective buyers in this case, where it's really clear that something that someone's worked on for 30-plus years and made a good living from is actually a valuable business and not something that should be undervalued or not valued at all. And so one of my objectives is to, over time, to look at the multiple and maybe help increase the multiple or look at the, you know, EBITDA and help them find out ways to improve their EBITDA so that business value is higher than it might be today.
A minute ago, you asked a question about the purchase cycle, and you've done a lot of analysis in that.
Yeah.
And that's what? That's about 120 days, is that right? 120-day
purchase cycle, exactly right. And retailers in the flooring space come in late, about the 90th day.
In research we've seen, a lot of the consumers start in the home center just because they know they can go in there and kind of ground themselves, right?
Well, I do think that's a really important point that we as the independent retailer have to grapple with is, the home center has an advantage in that they have a constant flow of thousands of customers a week walking by a flooring department. And I do believe as a long-term merchandiser and a long-term marketer in my own career that there's tremendous value in introducing consumers to new trends in flooring by positioning in the traffic flow flooring that otherwise no one would know about. So I do believe they have an advantage in that sort of incidental contact with flooring products that we don't have. And so how do we compensate for that? We've got a number of strategies that the team is working on right now, tactics that are derived of those strategies that do exactly that, position us at or ahead of where the home centers are in terms of that flooring purchase process.
Mm-hmm. All right, John, thanks for your insight, and good luck to you this next year now that you're no longer a newbie.
Yeah, the honeymoon is over. I found that out this week.
Yeah, that's right. Again, I've been talking to John Gilbert, the president of Carpet One from the summer meeting here in Denver, and you've been listening to Kemphar and FloorDaily.net.